Then we come to today's story. So, they've already heard several times. He's alive. He's risen. But then, Jesus stands among them again. And he says,
by now you should know from the other weeks,
peace. Peace be with you.
Well, peace is a very common way to greet someone. Instead of hello, you say peace. And that's a common form of greeting throughout the Bible. So maybe that's what Jesus meant. Or maybe he meant something much deeper. Because it says, Jesus said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and terrified to see him, and they thought he was a ghost. So, obviously, if you're startled and terrified, you need some peace. So Jesus said, peace be with you. And then he said to them, why are you frightened? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have here. Remember the story of the man we call Doubting Thomas? He needed to see. He needed to have that concrete. He said, I want to touch and see. Well, here in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus knows they need to have the opportunity to touch and see. And he shows them his wounds to show him it is me, the person who went through all those things you saw me go through. And so, while they were in their joy, because they had seen the wounds and they were talking to him, it says, in their joy, they were still disbelieving and still wondering. I think that's me a lot. I mean, I read it. I preach it. In my heart of hearts, I believe it. But sometimes, did he really rise from the dead? And am I really going to go somewhere better after this life? Is it real? Those disciples who were there that very first day and saw him live in person, they were joyful but also disbelieving. Somehow, disbelieving and wondering still creep in for all of us because nobody else has truly risen from the dead since. We don't really know, except in our faith. While in their joy and their disbelieving and wondering, he said to them, have you anything here to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate it in their presence. Broiled. I made a point of telling you broiled, so it's healthy for those of you who aren't eating. It was broiled fish. And he ate it in their presence. This is, of course, proof that he wasn't just a ghost. If you've seen that theological masterpiece, Beetlejuice, you know that when the ghost comes back, the ghost is really hungry, and the ghost takes a piece of food and puts it in his mouth, and it falls on the floor. Because a ghost can't eat. Jesus. He was really back, and yet, he wasn't back totally the way a normal person was, totally the way he had been before the crucifixion, because he also had walked through walls to get to be with them. And yet, he could eat fish. Yes, fish also in the Gospel of John, fish on the beach, you get to hear that next year. So, the next thing he does, after he's shown himself, shown him his wounds, shown him he's real, he's fish, then he explains the
sums it up by saying, he had to suffer and then rise from the dead. And repentance and forgiveness of sin will now be proclaimed to all. Repentance and forgiveness of sin. And finally, he says, you are witnesses to this. You, then, are the ones who are going to go do that, proclaim it, and forgive it, and turning people's lives around because of what you've seen. So what does it say to us? What does it say to us? Go back to the first thing. Peace be with you. Bad stuff happens. Frightening stuff happens. Jesus wants us to have peace. What's that expression? If you can keep your peace when all around you are losing theirs, then you must not know what the situation really is. Jesus showed them the real situation and offered them peace and offers us peace. And he doesn't just get around it like this is easy. He shows them his wounds. He shows them that he's human and he's real and he hurts and he has been hurt and he has hunger. Notice he doesn't say, I'm the great Jesus, the healer, the savior, the most wonderful. I have a big church with a lot of fancy decorations, and I can help you find prosperity. If you follow my way, you'll be rich and you won't have any troubles anymore. He doesn't say that. He shows them that he hurts, that he has been wounded, and that he is with them whenever they suffer. We are his living body. We have wounds. We have hurts. We have deep sadness and hunger. Things don't always go the way that we want them to. And Jesus shares that that's his same experience with his community of friends. The late theologian Henry Nouwen said something which I have on a little sign on the wall in my office. It says, only those with scarred hands can touch the wound. Only those with scarred hands can touch the wound. I have a friend who went to alcohol rehab recently. When he told me he was afraid and nervous because I had lived through my former husband going through it so many times, I was able to talk with him in a different way. Only those with scarred hands can touch the wounded. I have a friend who was disappointed about not getting the job they had hoped to get. And I understood because I'd been turned down myself. I had a call from a parishioner whose dear pet died. And I buried two cats this week last year. So I could share some of what they're going through. Jesus shows his scars. They are real, and so are ours. So are your scars, and so are the scars of the person sitting next to you right now. A community of faith is a place where we show our scars, drop our pretenses, and be real. And Jesus explains the scripture so that they can understand.
week I watched a powerful and very painful film on the internet. It was about a former prison guard in Bosnia. He was sentenced by the UN tribunal for war crimes. And in his sentencing, he was put in prison for what was going to be 15 years, but he was let out after 10 in Finland, and told that he could never, ever in his life go back to Bosnia, and that he needed to start his life over. With 10 more years passed, and he realized he had to take a chance and break the tribunal rule and go back to Bosnia and apologize to people who he had either killed or tortured or forced to watch him killing and torturing those he loved. He felt that he just had to tell them he was sorry. So he went back, and he did. And it was just so painful to watch. And he kept hoping, they're gonna give each other a hug and make up and forgive. But mostly they didn't. Mostly they couldn't let go. They couldn't forgive him. And he has to live with that. And he will live with that. And that's how the film ended. Forgiveness did not happen. Forgiveness, we preach about it so much, Jesus talks about it so much, that we start to say, oh, the preacher thinks, well, this is easy, but it's not.
Spirit's words and thoughts.